Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's September 28th, and it's a great day here in Atlanta. Beautiful weather. We're starting to get that fall weather. I've got Sam Grass and Lee Cantor in the studio with me. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Are we ready for our West Virginia football update?
There's no update. As you know, they played LSU last Saturday. And
they came in second?
Let me tell you, if LSU is not the number one team in the nation, I don't want to know who is.
Well, I was just going to let that pass because
it makes Sam grumpy.
He
talks about West Virginia all the time. All of a sudden, he didn't bring it up. I didn't understand why.
Well, and I guess Kevin's going to be in a good mood because Boise State won again, and Dallas squeaked it out Monday night. And
without a touchdown. Impressive.
Yeah, amazing, really. Well, we got a great show today. We're going to change up the order a little bit this morning. We're going to do Atlanta first. We've got Kevin on location with Buckner Village, and we'll get to him in a minute. But this morning in Atlanta, we have a guest who's kind of become a fixture on our show.
She owns stock in the company.
How do you like being referred to as a fixture?
I like that. I like a fixture. I can be that. Yeah.
Well, we have Sarah Beal with us from Hope Assisted Living, and joining her is another repeat guest, Susan Howard, who's with Highwoods Corporation. And Susan and Sarah, easy for me to say.
You've forgotten her name. Boy, I feel good now. Yeah.
Susan and Sarah are here representing the Alzheimer's Association and to talk about this year's Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's got a new name, and we'll let them talk a little bit about that for North Fulton and Gwinnett, which is this coming Saturday. So we're going to get to that in a minute, but let's start by having the two of you just kind of refresh us on who you are and what you do and how you got to be doing what you're doing, and then we'll transition into the Alzheimer's Walk.
Well, my name is Susan Howard, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the Walk this year. I've been involved with the Alzheimer's Association for a little over 10 years now. My mother actually had Alzheimer's and passed away in November of 2008. And I just want to do everything I can to try to end this disease. So we're doing the walk this Saturday, and we have a good steering committee, and we have a really good walk plan for everybody.
So before we move on from you, remind us what you do on your day job.
I work for Highwoods Properties, a local property management and realty company. I'm the lease administrator for them.
And you've been there for a little while?
Yeah, been there about 16 years. So
16 years.
Yeah.
So you're a fixture there.
I am, and I wear a lot of different hats.
Susan, you mentioned that you were co-chair of this year's Alzheimer's Walk. Who is your counterpart?
My counterpart is Lori Mayo, and she was going to be with us today, but unfortunately she was a little ill this morning. So she apologized that she could not make it.
Well, we hope Lori's feeling better, feeling well, and her spirits are picked up by hearing her name.
She's got to get better by Saturday. She's got to be
most
at the walk.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Okay, Sarah, fill us in what you've been doing lately.
Let's just forget about her and you just cut her in, just plug her in there, Lee. We've got all this.
Yes, don't you have me recorded somewhere?
Yeah, I'll just pop that in.
Yes. Well, I'm Sarah Beal, and I am an activities director right now. I work for Hope Memory Care Center. It's a new building that's opening in October. Get a little plug in there. I have been part of the walks with the Alzheimer's Association for, I think this is my third year. So it's been great being on the committee, getting to work with some really cool people. I not necessarily have had family members that have close to me with Alzheimer's, but that's the industry that I work in. So I've had a lot of dear friends and some people that I would refer to as family that have been affected by Alzheimer's. So for me, it's just it's the industry I work in, and it's something that, you know, I would not mind losing my job because this was cured. So that would not bother me one bit. So
as I recall, one of the times you were with us before, I think you I think it was you that told us you liked hanging out with older people better than people your
yes,
own age.
Yes, I do. Yes.
That's why she likes me better than you, Brad.
Yeah, I definitely have more fun with older people. The few friends that are my age make fun of me because they're like, "Oh, would you want to go hang out with a 90-year-old instead of us?" So it's true.
That's funny,
Sarah. While we have the opportunity, I know that Hope is a new facility. Give us a little bit of background on Hope and when the opening is scheduled. Where the location, things of that nature.
Hope Memory Care Center is located in Decula, right on the Decula-Lawrenceville border out in Gwinnett County, right off of 316. Our grand opening is going to be October 25th, so everyone is invited. But the building is an assisted living, but it is strictly Alzheimer's and dementia care. Pretty unique concept. It's split into four separate villages. Each village is its own self-contained memory care center or unit. And then depending on the level of dementia that the resident has, that's what village they'll be in. So,
And for our listeners, I just want to clarify, when I see the address Decula, I'm thinking quite a distance out. It's right by the airport, ladies and gentlemen, so it's very, very convenient.
Yes, it's not too far at all. I think it's 4 miles from Gwinnett Medical Center. So very, very close. Yes.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about this year's event. Most noticeably the change in the name. Maybe one of you can talk a little bit about that. It used to be the Memory Walk. It's now the Walk to End Alzheimer's. We talked a little bit about that last week with our guest from the Dallas chapter, but do you have any insight into why the name changed?
With the Alzheimer's Association this year, they've done a big push as far as with marketing and with changing the name and everything to really, they want to make this walk up there with the rest of the really successful fundraising walks. So instead of calling it the Memory Walk, they've renamed it to the Walk to End Alzheimer's, which kind of just pretty much sets it up, says it right there. This is what we're doing. The Memory Walk, I think sometimes with the name that got kind of confused and people weren't really sure what we were doing. And now it's the Walk to End Alzheimer's. It says it right there, what we're raising money for, what the walk is all about. So the Alzheimer's Association nationally has really just tried to revamp the walk. And there's been a whole new push. There's been print ads and radio commercials and TV commercials, really trying to push this and get it on the forefront of fundraising.
Now, it seems like all the walks have a tendency to take place around the same time. Is that true, or they don't take place all year long?
No, most of the walks are held in the months of September and October.
Okay.
And for the listeners, clarify that though you are directly involved with the North Fulton Gwinnett Walk, there are numerous walks across not only the state but the nation. So speak to that just a little bit.
There are. You can actually go to the Alzheimer's website, which is alz.org, and click on the Walk to End Alzheimer's, and it'll bring up a map of the United States, and you can click on whichever state you're interested in. And then, like in the state of Georgia, there's probably 20 walks across the state, so whatever would be convenient to you. You can get information on it.
So there are literally hundreds of these walks going on across the country.
Yes.
In the next month or so. Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned how the money is used. Can you talk a little bit about how they do use that money?
Well, the funds that they raise are used to help the caregivers for people with Alzheimer's. They're used for research, and they were used for education. Maybe I need to sign up for funds. What I was going to say is that you can go to the ALZ.org. There's a ton of information out there to help people who are caregivers for people with Alzheimer's. There are support groups all over the place, and people who are caregivers or who are impacted by this disease need that support. You can actually click on a link and get an entire list for the state of Georgia, county by county, to find something that would be closer to you to get some resources.
Okay, and I know there are events that go on kind of year-round, different events, but how important is this walk to the overall budget of the Alzheimer's Association?
This walk, from what I understand, is the major portion of the fundraising for the year's total needs.
Okay.
I think it's important for our listeners to try to emphasize the importance for the caregivers. Again, Brad and I being in the business, we see it all the time. The principal caregiver of someone who with Alzheimer's is the person that is really impacted in this situation. Can you speak a little of those services and opportunities or that the Alzheimer's gives those caregivers as far as support and maybe respite or anything of that nature?
Well, I know the Alzheimer's Association does, like Susan said, there is plenty of support groups, which sometimes that's all you need, not all you need, but, you know, to get together with people that are in going through the same situation. They also do education, so it is so important for the caregiver to take care of themselves mm-hmm. as well as the person they're caring for. So there's education on how better ways to do that. There's also the Alzheimer's Association can not necessarily refer and recommend, but they have listing of places that, whether it be respite care or day programs, things like that, that can resource to the caregiver.
Which I'm going to plug. Griswold Special Care can certainly.
Oh, well, and Hope Memory Care Center, you know, does things like that as well. I know, Susan, being a family caregiver, I don't know if you wanted to say a little bit more what the Alzheimer's Association did for you.
Well, primarily for me, they gave me the resources of the support group and whatnot to try to help me with things. The nice thing about the support group is that everybody there is going through the same thing, and you can all learn from each other. You know, what worked for one family might not work for another. But it's a group of people who understand what you're going through and get it, because in my caring for my mother, quite a few of my family members, when they would talk to her on the phone or whatnot, would call me back and say, why is she in a facility? There's nothing wrong with her. And I'm like, yeah, but when she hung up the phone with you, she asked me where my father was, and he'd been dead for 15 years. So, you know, people don't necessarily understand the disease if they're not directly impacted by it. And unfortunately, the number of people impacted by it is getting ready to grow rapidly.
So did you contact the Alzheimer's Association early in the process when you were dealing with your mother?
I did. I live here in Atlanta, and my mother was in Savannah at the time, and we were trying to keep her in Savannah so that she would be around people she was familiar with. Unfortunately, her health deteriorated, and we were in need of bringing her here to Atlanta, and we went to the Alzheimer's Association to try to get some information on what places were available. We were able to find Fountain View Medical Center, which is a nursing home for Alzheimer's care. And nursing homes that treat Alzheimer's are different from a traditional nursing home, because it's a nursing home for someone whose mind has failed but whose body is probably still up and going.
Right.
So the facilities that are directed, like Sarah's facility, that are directed specifically to Alzheimer's care and dementia care, they care for the whole person as opposed to just trying to treat a medical issue.
Right.
What was the first clue that there was something wrong with your mom?
The first clue for me was my mother, her favorite place in the whole world to go was a place called Edisto, South Carolina. It's between Hilton Head and Charleston. She and my father had gone there for probably 25 years. We went down there. It's about an hour and a half from her house in Savannah. And I went down to share a weekend with her. And she asked me how to get back to Savannah from there.
And she had been there a bunch of times.
She'd been there for 25 years. It was her favorite spot. She also, through the entire weekend, kept repeating herself. You know, are we staying the whole weekend? Do we need to change units? Is there something else we need to do? Are you and your friend going to stay the whole time? And then 5 minutes later, she'd ask the same question. Fortunately, my aunt was with me. And she sat me down and gave me a very long talking to and said, you need to get this under control. There's something wrong with your mom.
How old was your mother at that point?
At that time, she was 78 years mm-hmm. old.
Now, when this was happening in your mind, you were just thinking, you know, you didn't think it was any big deal, right? You just explained it five times. Like, you answered the question, and you didn't kind of say, oh, this is something I got to look into.
Right. I thought she was tired. Right. I thought she, you know, just wasn't having a good day. We ended up taking her to a neurologist, and they did the mini mental exams and things of that nature. And some of the simple questions she was just drawing total blanks on.
Right.
And mind you, my mother's a very well-educated woman, and that's one of the other problems with the Alzheimer's disease is the more educated you are, the better you can hide it.
Mm-hmm.
because you can find other words to describe things that you can't come up with the wording for. You can find other ways to label your routines so that you don't have to embarrass yourself and tell somebody you don't remember what that is or how to get there.
But from her, from your mother's point of view, is she trying to hide something, or is she just, this is something that kind of slowly kind of creeps over you. It isn't something that you as the individual is consciously going, well, I got something's wrong. I got better make a maneuver around this.
Well,
is it?
For me in my situation, my mother had Alzheimer's, but she also had vascular dementia as well. And the vascular dementia, we believe, was brought on by a car accident that she had where she had severe head trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew something was off. And that was the sad part, was to have your mother, who's this well-educated, brilliant woman, look at you and go, there's something wrong and I don't know what it is and I don't know how to fix it. And you're saying, well, you know, Mom, it's okay. You're forgetful. And you try to help make excuses for what they think is something wrong. And then one day you just get to a point where you can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they're deliberately trying to hide things. I think they're trying to compensate for what they know to be a deficit somewhere.
Right.
And it's much like
but is it
a
like
dementia individual, how they compensate for the lack of their learning abilities.
But is it like a person with like that doesn't have glasses, and then all of a sudden they need glasses? You know, their sight is deteriorating, but it's so gradual they're kind of not noticing it, and then it gets to a point where they say something and it's obvious to everybody else that there's a problem, but it was so gradual for the person experiencing it they didn't even notice it.
That's probably it. And actually, when you're going through something like that, you kind of know that your vision is getting a little bit more difficult, but you squint or
you
hold your glasses different, or you
it.
Get closer,
right.
Or you pull the menu out a little further.
Exactly,
you know.
You're managing it.
And it's the same way with Alzheimer's patients. They do that until they get to a point where something happens, and the tip of the iceberg for us when we couldn't ignore it anymore was my mother went to Myrtle Beach. My mother traveled a lot by herself after my father passed away. And she went to Myrtle Beach, which is a four-hour drive from Savannah, and it took her well over 6 hours to get home. Straight shot down I-95 interstate,
right.
No problem. She was able to get to a gas station that was a mile from her house and couldn't remember how to get to her house. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, she knew the phone number, and I don't know how this happened, but there are quirks in Alzheimer's that you can't explain. She knew the phone number of our neighbor across the street and was able to call them and say, Sylvia, I can't figure out how to get to the house. Can you help me? And the neighbor went to her and helped drive her home. And then the next morning she got up and went to church and got lost. And church is a mile from her house, and she got lost coming back to her house from church. So
right.
you end up with some incidents like that that are your wake-up call, and you say, you know,
there's something
wrong.
Right, yeah.
This is not just a lapse in memory. There's something wrong.
Right.
I think there's got to be a bit of, though, people looking at it saying, well, you know, when you get to the point where you're lost and you've been there before for 15 years, everybody would have to admit there's an issue going on. But I think a lot of people don't want to face it. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to attribute it to forgetfulness or
just they're getting older.
Well,
I
that's
mean,
right.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. no clear cut boundary definition, and a lot of this is what we consider normal aging process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very gray as to where it's normal aging process and where it becomes dementia or Alzheimer's, and who knows where to put their mm-hmm. hands in that situation.
Some of the instances, I have a counselor friend of mine who said one thing, and this is not, I'm not trying to say this is definite, but he said, for instance, if you're trying to come up with somebody's name, like, I can't remember your first name, but I've known you for 20 years, why can't I think of your name?
Like my partner, I can't remember his
Sam
name.
Sam does that every week.
But you can't think of it, but 20 minutes from now, it's like, oh, I know his name, what's my problem? You know, that's stress, old age, things of that nature. Somebody with Alzheimer's doesn't remember, I mean, like, the things that we take for granted on a day-to-day basis, like taking a shower in
right.
the morning. You make sure you have a towel, you take off your clothes, you get in the shower, you turn on the water, you make sure it's not too hot, you know, things of that nature. You go through your routine of shampoo and conditioner and soap and things of that nature. The person, when my mother was in the facility that she was in, she would get in the shower and have no clue what to do while she was there.
Boy.
And, right. and you know, you can find blessings, and I know the word blessings and Alzheimer's shouldn't normally go together. But, for instance, my mother's sister passed away after she had gotten a little bit worse in the disease. And the part of her brain that could talk like you and I and say, well, yeah, my father passed away 20 years ago, so on and so forth, that part worked. But the part that was like, oh, my sister's gone and I'm never going to see her again, and, you know, I'm heartbroken for that, that part didn't work.
I see. So she really didn't have to experience the pain.
Right, and the emotional pain of that. Loss.
And again, every case is different. Some people are different. Yeah. But fortunately, whenever we talked about her sister going forward, I was able to say she was up in heaven with Dad. And that was just a comment, and it was fine. And she didn't have to relive the, oh, no, she's dead, oh, no, she's dead kind of thing that some people do experience. Right. So
Let's change directions just a little bit and come back to the walk and talk about specifics. So we have a walk going on really throughout the nation over the next several weeks. Tell us about the North Fulton Gwinnett Walk. Give us the specifics of it. How do the people become involved? What is the obligation? Things of that nature.
The walk is going to be October the 1st. It's going to be at Duluth Town Green, which is the downtown center of Duluth. Our registration will start that morning at about approximately 8:30. You can come a little earlier than that if you'd like. Our opening ceremonies will hopefully start at 9:15, with the walk to start approximately 9:45, 10 o'clock. Usually the whole thing is wrapped up by 11, 11:30, so it's just a morning contribution of your time. Obviously, we are in the fundraising business. We are trying to raise funds for education, research, and to support the caregivers. The money that is raised at this walk stays locally as far as the caregivers go, mm-hmm. to try to help support them. And they can go to alz.org and register online for the walk. And if it's not our walk, they can also pick other walks as well. And that's
so it's not too late.
No, it's not too late. It's not too late. Day of, they can come out that day and register. We'll have registration tables open to help them.
And if they want to pre-register online, how can they do that?
They just go to alz.org and they can find the walk. They can pick the walk that they'd like to be a part of. They can either register as an individual walker, or they can join an existing team or create their own team. It's a 3-mile walk, and the weather, from what I hear, is supposed to be pretty nice on Saturday. It might be a little chilly in the morning, but it's supposed to be a pretty good day.
And can they also just donate to either the organization or an existing team?
Yes, they can. They can go to they can find the walks online, and they can either search for a particular person, or they can go to a particular team, or they can just make a donation there online.
So they don't need to walk to make a donation?
No, sir. We'll be happy to take their money.
With that, is there a goal that North Fulton Gwinnett has in mind for this walk as far as
the fund? Mm-hmm. Our fundraising goal for this year is $100,000, and we're currently, I think we're close to 75 at this time. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking for a good push later. Obviously, you have some funds that are turned in day of the walk, and mm-hmm. people might make a donation when they come. If you go online, you can do your donation on your credit card. So if that makes it easier for you, that's a simplistic way to do it.
And you can still donate after the walk too.
Correct. We'll be taking funds up until December 1st.
We'll take money anytime. Right. So.
But for this walk, for the walks right now, they'll be continuing to take the funds up until December 1st. So. And people should also check and see if their companies match. My husband works for Macy's, and they match 100% of your charitable donations. So a lot of companies do that, and it's a good way to take advantage of a resource that's available and double your impact on your funds.
Good.
Excellent.
Susan, let me ask you this question for our listeners, and since you've had the personal experience, if we have some listeners that have a loved one that they're starting to see some of these signs as you spoke of, what piece of advice could you give them as they begin this journey?
They need to surround themselves with good friends who understand them and can support them. They also need to be sure to find their voice, because you're the advocate for the person that you're caring for, with their doctors and whatnot. If they don't already have medical powers of attorney and things of that nature, they do need to contact someone to help them with that, because a lot of times your doctors won't talk to you if you don't have that. Even though it's obvious that you need to help out in the situation. I found my mother's doctors were extremely grateful and very willing to talk to me about her care. So, and trust your gut. If you think there's something wrong, get it checked out. Worst case scenario, they might say, oh, it's not Alzheimer's, it's something else, and we can treat it. But if it is Alzheimer's, you need to get the care as soon as possible.
Very good. You have anything to add, Sarah?
No, that was great. That was wonderful. I was just going to say, too, I mean, there is a lot of times there is geriatric psychiatrist, there is a neurologist. You need to find somebody that specializes. That, you know, obviously there's, or not obviously, but there isn't an exact diagnosis. I mean, you can't, you know, unless it's after death and everything, but go ahead and find somebody that specializes in this, that can really do a full physical and mental assessment.
Great advice. Well, I think you've already mentioned that the way to get more information is to go out to the website at alz.org. If someone wants to reach either of you directly, is there a way to do that?
Sure, they can call me at my office number at 404-443-1869.
And then my email address is sbeal, it's B as in boy, I-E-H-L, at hopememorycarecenter.com.
Very good. Well, ladies, thanks for being here with us. Best of luck on the walk on Saturday. And at this point, we are going to send it over to Kevin in Dallas with Buckner Retirement Village.
Thanks, guys. Joining me in Dallas today, I have with me three lovely ladies from Buckner Retirement Village. I'm joined by Alicia Russell, Cheryl Sebaugh, and Diane Williams. Let's start with Alicia. You're the executive director, and I'd like you to just introduce yourself, talk about maybe where you're from, where you went to school, and how you came to your position here at Buckner.
Thank you. I'm originally from Arkansas, born in Kansas, raised in Arkansas, a graduate of the University of Arkansas in nutrition. So I originally came to Buckner as the campus dietitian and staff development coordinator, a position I still hold.
Okay.
And worked for a year as an independent contractor and then was approached by the executive director about coming to work for Buckner full-time. And I'd already seen the culture, knew about their mission, and decided it was a good move for me. And it's been a blessing in my life.
And how long have you been here?
12 years.
12 years. All right. So you've been here for quite a while. That's great. All right, Cheryl, how about you?
Hi. Thanks, Kevin. I am Cheryl Sebaugh, and I was raised in D.C., actually born in D.C., raised in Kentucky and Oklahoma. Came here after high school and went to college here. Majored in psychology and have been in marketing ever since. And I came to Buckner in the springtime of this year and just absolutely love it. There's a big difference between the for-profit and non-profit world, and I just love this. This has been a blessing to me, so I'm glad to be here.
All right, Diane, and how about yourself?
Thank you, Kevin. Well, I've been here at Buckner for 18 years now. I've been a nurse for 48 years. I grew up in Indiana, have lived in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Texas as well. So I have my licenses in all those states. My passion has always been geriatrics. It always will be. I had a teacher in school, and that was back in Indiana, that was the kindest instructor we had, especially on the geriatric floor. And I just fell in love with geriatrics. I had a lot of grandparents. They had a lot of things to tell me, a lot of history. That's my passion.
Yeah, it's very rewarding.
It sure is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Alicia, let's go back to you and just give us some background about Buckner, what it is, what it's about, and what kind of sets it apart from other communities.
Well, Father Buckner was certainly a visionary, and he was a Tennessee Baptist preacher who, back in 1879, was at a deacon's convention in Paris, Texas. And after the convention, some of the preachers were out under an old oak tree, so the story goes, and they passed the hat so that they could start an orphanage. They received $27, which I'm sure was big money back then. They determined that in order to start an orphanage, they'd need $2,000. So 2 years later, they had $1,200 toward their goal, and he floated a loan. They got their $2,000, and they started the children's campus, which is exactly 2 miles from the retirement campus, with three children. Well, it wasn't very long before Father Buckner realized if you had the middle generation being wiped out in the war between the North and South, leaving children without adult parents, they also had elderly parents without adult children to take care of them. So right. He started some form of long-term care adjacent to the children's home. In 1954, this campus became a reality. I understand that the pig farm was here. They raised their crops. They had cattle and milked cows to feed about 700 children that lived at the orphanage. So over time, things have changed, and with the advent of foster care, there are not very many children that now live at the children's home permanently. But there are a lot of programs that run out of that building, for that particular campus. So we have been serving God's older children here since 1954. If the walls could talk, I'm sure that the stories would be phenomenal.
That is some amazing history. I didn't know. That's incredible. So what are the different levels of care and the different services that are provided at Buckner?
We have independent living in cottages, duplexes, townhomes, and patio homes. We have studio living, which is a step down from total independent. We do their meals, their laundry, and housekeeping, but they're still independent. Then we have assisted living with acuity, and dementia care.
Okay. So I guess the care would be Diane's area of expertise. What are some of the services that you can provide for those that require maybe a higher level of care?
Because we are assisted living, we are between independent and nursing, which we no longer have on the campus, the nursing issue. But I have nurses around the clock, so we're able to deliver care almost to the nursing home level because of those nurses. We can do continuous oxygen, we can do any kind of injections, whether it be diabetes or vitamins or whatever the injection's for. We're also able to keep those people out of the hospital because we are here to notice what's going on with them, intercede with the doctors, and prevent that hospitalization, which is usually detrimental to people this age because they're confused, they don't know what's going on, they end up tying them down, putting in Foley catheters, really causing them to regress rather than improve, and so we do our best to keep them out of the hospital.
Great, and so do you have many residents go from independent to AL for maybe a little while they improve and then go back, or is it...
Not a lot, but we have some. And we have others that come in from the outside and recuperate here and go back to whatever independent life they had prior to that.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So what are some of the... you don't have an activity directory in here with us, so what are some of the various activities that somebody could expect once they move in from either an independent or an assisted living level?
Right now they're having Friday movie and popcorn. Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Even people that don't know it's Tuesday know it's ice cream social day. So we have some things that are pretty much set in stone, and then we have other activities. They'll be going to the State Fair of Texas. They do crafts, sing-alongs. And then being a faith-based campus, we have Bible study on Wednesday, words of worship on Thursday, and we have worship services on the campus on Sundays, plus Vesper services the last Thursday night of the month.
Okay. In addition to that, for more active seniors, we do have trips out of town. I know they went to the Peach Orchard not too long ago. They do go to the movies outside of the campus. They'll go out for breakfast, lunch, supper. The Bath House Cultural Center over at White Rock Lake is a favorite for plays. And so for our more active seniors, they have lots of opportunities to get off the campus and still be a part of the community around us.
Oh, that's excellent.
And I'm available also for the independent residents on a daily basis. But every Wednesday I do a wellness clinic, mm-hmm. and they're able to come to me with whatever medication or medical problems they might have. I check their vital signs, monitor what they've eaten, how much they remember about different things, just to see where their condition is all the time.
So who would be the best to talk about maybe the independent living apartments, what they're like, if somebody is interested in coming and checking it out, what they can expect from an independent living apartment?
Well, independent living, like Alicia had mentioned earlier, consists of single family homes, which we call cottages. Those range anywhere from 3-bedroom, 2-bath to 2-bedroom, 1-bath. We have duplexes, which are typically 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And then we have patio homes, which are two-bedroom, two-bath, or two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath. We have townhomes, which are two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath. Most of those have covered parking available. They have the full kitchen. They have, of course, the carpeted, tiled, and full kitchen area. Some of those are galley kitchens. Some of those are full U-shaped kitchens. And they can also actually enhance their independent living by adding the meal package to that if they didn't feel like cooking all the time. So they do have some options for meals. We take care of their home maintenance and lawn care. We do provide additional security. We provide scheduled transportation during the week to doctor's visits. And of course, our life enrichment coordinator coordinates the social calendar scheduling for independent living.
Excellent. So it sounds like there's a great mix of opportunities for them to stay as independent as possible, to keep that vitality up, but also enough to make sure they're safe and comfortable so that they're not going to digress because they're in a great community like this.
Absolutely. It's. I think it's important for our seniors to know when they're leaving a residential neighborhood that they're currently living in to come live in a community like ours, that they don't lose their independence. It's actually enhanced by being in a community where they're surrounded by neighbors who are like them, who pay attention to them, want to know how they're doing, want to know what's happening around them. It's actually enhancing their independence.
Excellent.
It gives their families peace of mind too, because they know that they can contact one of us up here if they feel like something's wrong or they haven't heard from that person. We can set their mind at ease right away by, you know, just going out there.
Right. Cheryl, do you have any special events that are coming up that people would be interested in knowing about?
Absolutely. Our community, our particular campus within the Dallas community, we'd like to be a wonderful educational resource for our seniors out there who are not living with us. And we, you know, our campus is open to all visitors that would like to come to these events and learn about issues that are pertinent to seniors. On the 28th of September, we have a lunch and learn, which is complimentary. We just need a call in to RSVP so we know you're coming. It is a lunch and learn, and it will cover the topic of estate planning. And we happen to be partnering with one of the large organizations in the area to provide that particular topic. Then in October, we have three lunch and learns. One is on Tuesday the 11th. We have Dr. Ross Stewart of the Brain and Body Wellness Center who will be speaking. Then we have Wednesday, October the 12th is actually our flu shot day from 2 until 4 p.m. Please absolutely call in to let us know that you're coming for that so we can make sure we have enough vaccine here. Friday the 14th, we have partnered with the American Diabetes Association for another lunch and learn, and she'll probably cover the topic of carbohydrates and how to manage those, especially for the upcoming holiday season. And then on Tuesday, October 25th, we have a gentleman that is closely related to our corporate office that will be providing a different type of seminar on a lunch and learn seminar on estate planning. And he also happens to be a fabulous trumpeter. Did I say that right?
So he will be
providing the added benefit of some entertainment to that lunch and learn.
Oh, that sounds excellent. Is there a charge for the flu shots that...
No, it is free with their Medicare card. They just need to bring that with them.
Okay.
And also the pneumonia shots will be available that day, too.
Okay. All right. Before we wrap up, Dan, we were talking earlier, and you had a great piece of advice that I'd like you to share on the air with our listeners, because I think that it's excellent and something that people should keep in mind. So why don't you go ahead and share that with us?
All right. Kevin had asked me what one tip we could maybe give to families concerning their older relatives, and especially for those who live far away, is to keep in close touch with that family member. Changes can happen, and they have different problems, and they become very adept at covering those up, especially when the family is long distance. So trying to see and talk to your family member as often as possible will help you to prevent them from having a big deterioration before you can stop that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fantastic advice. We see that a lot when people come into town for holidays, and it's better to catch that sooner rather than later. Absolutely. Cheryl, can you give us some contact information for Buckner as well as a number to RSVP for those events?
Yes. The number to RSVP for our complimentary events is 214-381-2171. And our website for additional information about our community and also the other six communities that are located throughout the state of Texas. If you have, if any of your listeners have family members in other parts of the, you know, the, the state, that our website is www.bucknerretirement.org.
Okay. Well, ladies, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for to the folks at Buckner Retirement Village for taking part of your day to spend with us today. That's it for our show today. As always, you can listen to a rebroadcast of the show on www.ujiriaradio.com, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of the show. In the meantime, as always, we close with if the youth of our nation are our greatest national resource, then it stands to reason that the seniors of our nation are its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ujiria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X Studios.